peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Paul wrote in today's epistle, "The days are evil." That was almost 2,000 years ago. They're still evil. The world is a dark place and getting darker. But you've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. Not that you've been brought out of the dark world, but you have been made citizens of God's nation. Not the United States, but the Holy Christian Church. You are now in the world, but not of the world. The darkness that's around you cannot touch you, cannot consume you, because God has called you into the well-lit wedding feast of His Son. Many are called into that wedding feast, but few are chosen, as Jesus taught in today's gospel. What does that mean? What's the difference between being called and being chosen? The word chosen is the same word in Greek as to be elect or elected. And so today's parable about the wedding feast is really the key parable in the New Testament about God's teaching of election. It's the biblical teaching that God has chosen beforehand those who will finally spend eternity with Him in His kingdom of light. It's a doctrine that can be confusing, but not if we stick with the simple presentation of it that we have in the easy-to-understand parable that Jesus gives us today in Matthew 22. This parable of the wedding feast isn't hard to understand. The king arranges a marriage for his son. That's clearly talking about God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, for whom He prepared a marriage. First, by sending His Son into human flesh, and then by preparing a bride for His Son, the Holy Christian Church, to be united to Christ in the most holiest matrimony. Now, God's decision to do that, to send His Son into our race, to sacrifice Him for the sins of our race, that's not something that just came to God sometime in history. It's not something that came to God even after mankind fell into sin. Before the world was created, the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth were laid in eternity, God decreed that He would do this. That He would send His Son into our race to redeem our race, because He knew that we would fall. He knew that we would need redeeming. So His plan from eternity was to send Christ into our race and to gather to Himself a holy bride. But God the Father also decreed in eternity how He would bring fallen mankind into that bride. He decided to invite people, to call them by the gospel promise of the coming Messiah. And throughout the Old Testament, God did invite people to this great wedding. Over time, He narrowed His calling to the Jewish people, to the people of Israel, so that they, before anyone else, would be ready for the coming of the Christ, so that when He finally arrived, they could be the first to come and meet Him, to come to the wedding feast and be saved through faith in Him. Then Christ came. The wedding was ready. The Jews had been invited already in the Old Testament. Now God sent out messengers, John the Baptist, Jesus, His apostles, to call them to the wedding. The Christ has come. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they didn't want to come. They mostly refused. They refused the apostles' call, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." But they wouldn't, for the most part, be baptized. The king sent out other messengers, but still the people on the whole, refused to come. Some were too busy, too uninterested, while others got so angry at this message of salvation through Christ alone that they mistreated the messengers and even killed some of the messengers. That's still the reaction that most people have today to hearing the gospel invitation. Either they're uninterested in it, or they persecute it because it calls their deeds evil and insists that they repent of their sins, acknowledge the God of the Bible as the only true God, and turn to Christ in humility for forgiveness. So it does us no good to worry about all the people out there rejecting the gospel. It does us no good to wring our hands when the gospel of Christ goes out and not many end up coming into the church. And it certainly does us no good to get angry when Christians are persecuted or mistreated or even killed. That's why we were called out of this dark world, because the world remains dark and will remain dark and will grow darker still before the last day. Well, we were called out of it into the wedding feast. We were called to join the heavenly banquet, even though on this earth we will still suffer. So rather than get angry about that, let God get angry about it. And he does, as Jesus says in the parable. The king was furious when the invited guests turned down his invitation and some of them even killed his messengers. And then let God do something about it in his time. As Jesus says in the parable that he surely will. As the king sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. But understand that those armies that the king sent out are not Christians. They are the angel armies who will gather the wicked on the last day and throw them into the fires of hell. As for us, we're called upon to simply be messengers of the truth. Now, through the gospel that has gone out into the world, through God's servants who proclaim it, the king still invites many people. After Israel rejected the gospel, it didn't stop. The invitations didn't stop going out. The king said to his servants, "Go out into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Come to the feast. Come and dine with the king in his house. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." And many have come, including many of the least important people in the world, the weak, the sick, the poor, sinners from every nation, tribe, language, and people, the good and the bad. Whoever hears the gospel of Christ is being called into the kingdom by the Holy Spirit, because the worthiness for attendance at this feast does not come from the invited guests. It comes from the bridegroom. He offers his worthiness in baptismal waters to cover the guests with it as with a garment, so that they may attend the feast in the house of God. As St. Paul says to the Galatians, "You who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." But there is a guest in the house in Jesus' parable when the king comes, who is not dressed with the wedding garment, the garment that's handed out to all the guests. He's entered the house. He's entered the church. He has been baptized. He calls himself a Christian. The garment was offered to him. But he isn't dressed with the garment of faith when the king arrives. He calls himself a Christian, but he remains impenitent and has no trust in Christ alone as the only God and Savior. He may be able to hide his lack of faith from his fellow guests, but he can't hide it from the king. The Lord knows those who are His. And so when God comes on the last day, that Christian in name only is bound and cast outside into outer darkness together with all those invited guests who refused the invitation in the first place. Many are called, but few are chosen, Jesus says. The Jews boasted that they had been called. We are Abraham's children, they said. And to be called by God into His kingdom is indeed a very great gift. No one can be saved without being called by the gospel. But, as we saw in the parable, many of those who are called do not actually come because they don't want to come. They don't actually want to acknowledge their sins and have Christ alone for a Savior. The Holy Spirit is working through the gospel to bring people to faith in Christ whenever the gospel is preached, but many of those who hear stubbornly resist the Holy Spirit. Not all who are called are chosen to enter eternal life, but it's because they didn't want to be. Only those who hear the gospel and believe it and persevere in that faith until the end are among the chosen. But when does this choosing, this election take place? As we said, and as we learn from the scriptures, it took place in eternity. The chosen, the elect, were chosen in Christ in eternity, chosen by God's grace, called here in time through the gospel, justified by faith in Christ, and they persevere until the very end, wearing the garment of Christ's righteousness by remaining in the true faith until the arrival of the King on the last day. Or if they fall away for a time from the faith, which certainly can happen, they are called again by the gospel, brought to repentance, and justified by faith. So what do we learn from the gospel for our correction and edification? First, we learn that God's invitation to come into His church and His eternal kingdom does not depend at all on the worthiness of the guest, but only on God's grace and the merits of Christ. Second, we learn that God's invitation to come into His church and His eternal kingdom is always sincere, always genuine. That His Spirit is always working through the gospel to create faith. God truly wants all those who are invited, all those who hear it, to believe in Christ, to receive the forgiveness of sins, and to have eternal life. That is the will of God. Third, we learn that it's all God's doing when people are saved. From the election of grace itself, to the sending of the gospel here in time, to the faith that is given as the gift of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, to the justification by faith, to the preservation of our faith through the means of grace, to our final glorification in God's kingdom. It's all from God. Those who are called but don't believe have only themselves to blame. And finally, we learn how urgent it is that we hear and take to heart the gospel invitation, and that we be diligent in prayer and in the use of the means of grace to make our calling and election sure, as St. Peter writes. God doesn't send us back into eternity to search out and see if your name is hopefully written in Christ, the book of life. Where He sends you is here, to this ministry of the Word, to baptism and to the Holy Supper. Listen to His Word that tells you of the goodness of Christ, His atoning sacrifice, His resurrection, and His will that all men should be saved through faith in Christ. Those who are not baptized should put it off no longer. Those who are baptized should use the means that God has provided for our salvation. Hear the Word of God receive his sacrament. Be steadfast in prayer, in godly living, in struggling against the flesh, and in bearing the cross patiently. God has provided and will continue to provide all that is necessary for your salvation. Take it as evidence of your election that God has called you all through the gospel into fellowship with his Son. And be assured that your faith and your salvation are no accident, nor your doing. It was planned by God in eternity. Use the means God has given you to remain firm and steadfast in the faith. And neither Satan, nor death, nor any of the darkness of this world will be able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.